Christ is divine, yesterday and today and forever. He did not put that deity upon him at the incarnation. He did not throw it off at the crucifixion or the ascension or whatever it might be. He is divine from before the foundation of the world. He is divine for all eternity, and his divine nature has consequences for us. It calls us to recognize the wickedness of our sin in sight of a God and a Savior who is divine and holy. It calls you to trust in the sufficiency of Christ for salvation.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we consider the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of the living God. If you are a regular listener to our programs, maybe you have a question, and maybe you want to let us know that you're listening and that these programs have been a blessing to you, then do get in touch with us. You can email pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Those details will be repeated at the end of today's program. We are going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the second part of a sermon entitled The Immutable Christ. What does that word immutable mean? We don't necessarily use it today in everyday conversation, but this word simply means unchangeable. And the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, being divine, is one who is immutable. He is unchangeable. And the Word of God reminds us there, Hebrews 13, verse 8, which will be our text, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Christ is divine, yesterday and today and forever. He did not put that deity upon him at the incarnation. He did not throw it off at the crucifixion or the ascension or whatever it might be. He is divine from before the foundation of the world. He is divine for all eternity, and his divine nature has consequences for us. It calls us to recognize the wickedness of our sin in sight of a God and a Savior who is divine and holy. It calls you to trust in the sufficiency of Christ for salvation. We're reminded, because of the immutable divine nature of Christ, that his sacrifice is sufficient. Van Maastricht, one of the Dutch theologians, said that the doctrine of Christ's deity commends to us the sufficiency and perfection of our mediator. Because he is divine, he can truly save. Do you desire the forgiveness of sins today? Do you desire peace with God? Do you desire having that burden removed? That burden of sin and knowing peace? Well, the divine nature of Christ commends to you that he is a sufficient and a perfect Savior. The only one who can save, because he is sufficient and perfect, being divine. All fullness dwells in him. You see, unbeliever, there is no Savior who can save you who is not divine. There is one divine Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his divine nature never changes. What does that remind us of? That in the work of redemption, he can be depended upon. Imagine You were on a ship that sank. And you got into the life raft with a few others. And you went into the sea. And you're floating there upon the sea, waiting for rescue. Depending upon that life raft, how great it is, how important it is, keeping you safe from the elements of the ocean. And then suddenly you feel water splashing around your foot. And you look down and the water is coming in. There's a leak somewhere. And there's a panic to try and find the leak, to plug that leak, and it's too late. And you have your life jacket on and you get out of the raft into the water. And the raft sinks and you and others are there in the middle of the sea waiting for rescue. No life raft anymore. And then as you float up and down, there's a hiss. And the air comes out of your life jacket. Now your flotation device is gone. And you're all alone, and your survival really depends on how good a swimmer you are, how much energy you have to keep afloat and to keep on going till help arrives. When we think of our Savior, He is the great life raft for His people. He's the great Redeemer. And those that rest in Him, the great ark of salvation, there's no leaks. There's nothing that will cause that ark of salvation to sink or to capsize or to lose anyone who is resting within it. Why? Why can we be so sure about that? Why can we say with assurance that if you trust in Christ as Savior and you bow the knee and repent of your sin and have that genuine faith in Him, you will be saved? Why can we say that? Because He is the same yesterday and today and forever. His salvation never changes. Therefore, the ark of salvation that is Christ never changes. Why? Because He is divine. Because of His great divine nature. Oh, the life raft that sinks, the life jacket that has all the air hissing out of it, we could say, are your own attempts of saving yourself. In vain. But the ark of Christ remains afloat. And the people of God that are safe within that ark are safe for all eternity. Is that where you are today? Is that where you're resting? Upon the divine nature of your Savior, rejoicing that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that you might live through Him. Christ, secondly, is immutable in His office as our mediator. Immutable in His office as our mediator. John Owen, the Puritan preacher, said here that the apostle speaks not of the person of Christ absolutely, but with respect unto His office and the discharge of that office, thinking of the work of Christ, thinking of Him as our Savior and our Redeemer, and thinking of Him upon whom we are fixed. The truth of Christ is fixed, and we're reminded of that. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Maybe today you're thinking of voting NDP or Liberal, and then in the morning you wake up, what happens? Well, I'm going to vote Conservative, or I'm not going to vote at all. What's happened? You've changed. And maybe over the course of the election, you've changed. Maybe over the course of your life, you've changed who you vote for. Maybe the last government did something you didn't like. You weren't happy with how they governed, and you voted for them and you supported them, but now things have changed. And we can see that in the polls. There were those that didn't like that and they were going to go somewhere else and vote for a different party. And then there was a change and they're saying that numbers are up and a new leader has changed all these things. There's constant change. There's no fixing for some people on a particular stance or party. And how often is that true in life? We can find that spiritually, that when it comes to the truth of God, we're not fixed. We're blown about by every wind of doctrine, as we saw in the introductory remarks. But we find that because of Christ, Christ our great mediator, Christ who is the same yesterday and today and forever, there can be a fixing upon truth. Are you fixed upon the truth of God today? Are you resting firmly upon it? Can you say, well, Christ is the Savior. There is salvation through Christ alone. There's that great ark of salvation that is Christ that will never sink or flounder because of his divine nature. This is the truth I'm fixed upon, the truth I'm resting upon. Truth I most certainly depend upon, because Christ never changes. Oh, we need to be fixed upon the truth and the truth of our mediator in his offices. Our mediator was called Jesus, the Larger Catechism said, because he saves his people from their sins. Why was our mediator called Christ? Well, they give the answer, question 42 of the Larger Catechism. Our mediator was called Christ because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost above measure and so set apart and fully furnished with all authority and ability to execute the offices of prophet, priest, and king of his church in the estate both of his humiliation, coming to earth, dying upon the cross, and exaltation, being risen again and ascended into heaven, and his second coming. How does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Well, Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to the church in all ages by his word, by his spirit and word, in diverse ways of administration, and the whole will of God in all things concerning their edification and salvation. Two things. And Christ as prophet in his word reveals to us how we can be saved and redeemed, and how we can be edified or built up. That's what edification means, being built up. There's a connection to sanctification. Being built up in our faith, living for Christ. And the Word of God includes all of those things. That's why we refer to Scripture as sufficient. It is a sufficient Word because it tells us how we can be saved, and it shows us and tells us, and it itself edifies us. And Christ is our great prophet, our great teacher, the one who reveals his Word to us. And he does so in a way that is immutable. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. We're not talking here about scrolls being used in the first century and then books being printed in the 1500s, and now it's all online. We're not talking about that kind of a change. We're talking about the substance of that truth. Different means have been used. Word of mouth, the printed page, the digital page, whatever it might be. Different means have been used to set forth the truth of God. That's not what is in view here as being unchangeable. It's the substance of Christ and the substance of his word. And what he tells us, that word is the same yesterday and today forever. Christ is our prophet, never changes. He didn't turn round to the apostles and say, you have to preach faith alone, in Christ alone, for salvation. He didn't turn round to the reformers and say, you have to do the same. And coming into the 21st century, well, you know what? Things have changed. The church, you can have a little bit more leeway. You can change the word a little bit. You can adapt not the means, but the message itself to suit the circumstances. It's a violation of what we have here. Christ then is not the same. And that brings us to something that is quite solemn. That there are many today who take the message of Christ revealed in his word and they change it. or they remove it, or they add to it. And therefore, if Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and they preach a Christ who has changed, they're not preaching the true Christ. They're not preaching the true Word of God. And we must discern these things. Question 44, how does Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executes the office of a priest in his once offering himself a sacrifice without spot to God, to be a reconciliation for the sins of his people, and in making continual intercession for them. Christ is our great priest. He is our sacrifice. He reconciles his people to God. He makes continual intercession for them. He finished the work of redemption, and in that work, he is unchangeable. And that is why we preach Christ crucified, because Christ has not changed. And dear unbeliever, you may have heard that message. Turn from sin, repent, believe in Christ, look to Christ crucified, call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. That's the message that must not change, the message that you must hear, and the message you must believe. Because Christ is the great priest who does not change. And dear believer, as we think of this world and we think of the watering down of the gospel and the changes that men make to the gospel, be encouraged that you believe the message of Christ. Be exhorted from Scripture to not veer away from that message, to change that message, because it is the message of Christ. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. His word doesn't change. His sacrifice, his priestly work does not change. And therefore, when faced with questions, when faced with speaking about your faith, don't hold back from the truth of God. Yes, we have a great rock that we rest upon for our souls, but we have that great rock of God's word that we rest upon to teach us and instruct us, that we may teach and instruct others the way of salvation. Question 45, how does Christ execute the office of a king? Christ executes the office of a king in calling out of the world a people to himself and giving them officers, laws, and censures by which he visibly governs them, in bestowing saving grace upon his elect, rewarding their obedience, correcting them for their sins, preserving, supporting them in all their temptations and sufferings, and powerfully ordering all things for his own glory and their good, taking vengeance on the rest who know not God and obey not the gospel. To somewhat summarize what we have here. Christ is our great King. We can think of this world. We can think of the changes in this world. You're not a member of the Persian Empire today. You're not a member of some group of Vikings running around Surrey with your helmet and shield and sword, and the stereotypical long red beard. You're not part of the Egyptian Empire that is spread across the globe, and downtown Vancouver is filled with pyramids reminiscent of ancient Egypt. These things have all passed away. Those kings and leaders and emperors have all passed away. There's been a shift of power over the centuries. These kings have ruled, and these kings and their system of government have lost their power. But there's a king that is the same yesterday and today and forever. There's a king who rules. There's a king upon whom we can depend upon. And what changes happen in this world happen according to him. He's in control. Psalm 2 reminds us of that. And therefore, let us remember, dear believer, that Christ is our King. Christ is your King. Christ is the one that you live for and the one that you serve. Christ is the one who preserves and supports you in all your temptations and sufferings. Christ is the one who orders things for his own glory. Christ is the one who one day will take vengeance on those that obey not the gospel. Christ is the one that preserves you. And when we think of the circumstances in this world, tragic circumstances, difficult circumstances, he's the comfort and help as your King, and he is unchangeable. Christ and his gospel and Christ and his kingdom will not fade into history. Men have tried to fade Christ and his kingdom into history, but he will not fade like the kingdoms of this world. His kingdom is a kingdom that will reign for all eternity, and his people will praise his name for all eternity. Is that not an encouragement to our hearts when we think of the immutable Christ? The same yesterday and today and forever. O men, try to set the Savior aside, but he is the same. He is the same. Thirdly and finally, he is immutable in his purpose as the head of his church. Immutable in his purpose as the head of his church. Christ is the great King and head of his church. That position belongs to nobody else, to no other system. He is and forever will be the same object of faith for his church, the same means of salvation for his church, the same foundation of his church, being its prophet and priest and king. He has the same power to revive his church as in days of old. And Christ, as the head of his church, desires his church to go forward with his gospel, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to live for him, to be a church that is living a life and conducting a ministry that is worthy of Christ. A church that preaches the true gospel of Christ. Christ is the message that we preach and proclaim. And by the grace of God, as we move through the years, our message will be unchangeable. The unchangeable message of Christ. And we should never move away from that. And never move away from that gospel. Oh, there's much that we could say here regarding Christ and regarding his purpose as the great head of his church. But the purpose of Christ for his church is not for the church to entertain. It's not for the church to dilute the worship of God. It is not for the church to become one with the world, to bring the world in, to go out into the world and be part of the world. The word church is the term ecclesia in the New Testament, the Greek word, as we saw in the adult Sunday school and on other occasions, called out. The church is called out by God to stand for him and to stand for the gospel of Christ. And in that, it is unchangeable. Our great head is unchangeable. His purpose for his church is unchangeable. Well, we might have great ideas of how to change how the church operates. But let us not depart from the Word of God. Let us not depart from our great King and unchangeable head. Let us serve him. Let us remember that he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the same power. He is the same authority. He is the same Savior. And as we close, what about you? Are you resting in the unchangeable Christ? Are you sure of your salvation because Christ, the divine Christ, is your Savior? May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon's devotional brings us to 1 Peter 2, verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is precious. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is precious. If, then, this is not a matter to be taken for granted, concerning every one of the human race. If, then there is a possibility and a probability that some may not have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If, then this is not a general but a special mercy, and it is needful to inquire whether we know the grace of God by inward experience. There is no spiritual favour which may not be a matter for heart searching. But while this should be a matter of earnest and prayerful inquiry, no one ought to be content whilst there is any such thing as an if about his having tasted that the Lord is gracious. A jealous and holy distrust of self may give rise to the question, even in the believer's heart, but the continuance of such a doubt would be an evil indeed. We must not rest without a desperate struggle to clasp the Saviour in the arms of faith and say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Do not rest, O believer, till thou hast a full assurance of thine interest in Jesus. Let nothing satisfy thee till, by the infallible witness of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with thy spirit, thou art certified that thou art a child of God. Oh, trifle not here. Let no perhaps, and peradventure, and if, and maybe, satisfy your soul. Build on eternal verities, and verily build upon them. Get the sure mercies of David, and surely get them. Let thine anchor be cast into that which is within the veil, and see to it that thy soul be linked to the anchor by a cable that will not break. Advance beyond these dreary ifs. Abide no more in the wilderness of doubts and fears. Cross the Jordan of distrust, and enter the Canaan of peace, where the Canaanite still lingers, but where the land ceaseth not to flow with milk and honey. Thank you for listening to our program today. We trust that it has indeed been a blessing to you and to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.